Okay, as I said earlier, Linda said to remind the folks, or don't forget to remind them about the homework, because I'll have a tendency to do that. Let's read the verses that we were talking about, as a matter of fact. Chapter 2, verse 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, we'll start there. John writes, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Verse 12, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." And I think we'll stop right there for now. But so you see in there quite a few things. But I want to encompass some of the things. Verse 11, because that is kind of a topic that is really, you know, how do we deal with that? You know, if anyone hates his brother, is in darkness and walks in darkness, but he does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, does anybody have anything that the Lord has shown you regarding that in this last week? I don't want to be the only one who's always telling, or maybe I'm the only one who has to deal with these issues.
So, is hatred and dislike is not the same thing?
No, no. No, you can not like what your brother does. And notice what he does say there, though. I've always, in my second message that I have there, we always have to go back and take it in context of what John is saying. Number one, who's he writing to?
Believers.
Believers. Okay? And he says, but he, and remember, who is he writing about? The Gnostics. Remember the heresy of them coming in. Evidently, someone could say in there, they must have said in there that, you know, you don't need to deal with that person. You don't need to like that person anymore. But he says, but he who hates his brother, of course, to get that context, you got to go back to verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Remember, that goes back to the verse of saying God is light. And so John is saying, if somebody hates their brother, they're in darkness. And there's a distinction of when he says his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. As believers, we can walk in darkness if we're not careful. Doesn't mean we're in darkness, but we can walk in it because of emotions or things that happen. Somebody says something to you and you don't like what they said, and it just brings all kinds of consternation in our hearts, and we don't deal with it. Some of it is because we're afraid to bring it up, you know? Does that make sense? I mean, does that ever happen to anybody else? I mean, sometimes I don't want to say something because I'm afraid it's going to lead to a greater one versus saying, what do you mean by that? You know? But Linda, do you have something on that? Mm-hmm. He says in verse 9, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So that was what the Gnostics were saying. You don't need to deal with that person. You don't have to hang out with them. But if you say that you're walking in the light, you have to. You can't hate your brother or sister in Christ. I like what Ray Stedman says about that. He says, what does it mean here by hate? He who hates his brother, the dictionary tells us that hate is a feeling of extreme hostility or extreme dislike of another. That suffices as far as the definition is concerned. We know well the feeling, this dislike, this aversion to someone, a sense of extreme hostility toward another. Ah, yes, but it can be expressed in two different ways. It can be active in that we indulge in malicious talk or injurious actions toward another. We can strike them or beat them or throw our garbage over their fence or mistreat them in some way. We can attack them. We can slander them behind their back. All these are active expressions of hate. And perhaps most of us think of hate only in this sense. But hate can also be expressed passively and still be hate. It can be expressed by indifference, by coldness, by isolation, by exclusion, or unconcern for another. Someone has well said that indifference is the cruelest form of hate. You only need to read the gospel records to see how true that is. What hurt our Lord most was not the active enmity of those who were trying to accomplish his death, but the coldness and indifference of those who once followed him, yet turned aside from him and idly stood as he was put to death. So even in inaction, I just don't go around you no more. See, there's something that I got convicted of that because there's somebody I have to go visit. And I don't want to, but I have to go visit because that's what the Lord's putting on my heart.
For the third time.
Yes, you've made an attempt. So it's like, okay, so I just want to get it cleared out now. If you really don't like me, okay, I understand that. Now the onus is on them because you say you're walking in the light, but you hate your brother. Well, I don't hate you. I just want to be around you. Okay. That's all I need to know. And some will say, well, I really don't hate them. I hate what they do. And so I can certainly buy that. And there's a tinge. But if there's a tinge of getting even with them in our hearts, then we're deceived. Say, I'm gonna hurt them because they hurt me. Or else they say, but you don't know what they did to me. Anybody ever have to deal with that?
Yeah,
you know what they did to me. Well, that may be true, but I know someone who does know what they did to you. His name is Jesus. And he died on that cross for that very reason, for the sins of that person and my sins as well. And he knows exactly what's happened to each and every one of us. I shared last week when I was having a great pain and somebody that had burned me, and I said, man, the Lord, you saw that, yeah. Just make sure you don't ever do that. I'm like, well, how does that help me? Go ahead, Linda.
So, I'm just thinking out loud. You can hate what they do, but it's sometimes hard to disassociate what they do from who they are because you see their character as ugly and mean. And so that's who they are. So you hate their expression, outward expression, right. But that's kind of who they are, too. So it's kind of sometimes hard to divide the two.
Yeah, yeah. Because of the pain.
Yeah.
You know, and the heartache, especially if it's ongoing. And it's really amazing because usually the pain is more severe from people that are the closest to you or had been the closest to you. Could be a family member, could be a friend, a real dear friend. And usually that's going to hurt the worst. It's not somebody who you just have a casual relationship with, you know. Because you can let that go. But the same Jesus that died on that cross for them is the same Jesus that died for us. And if we have a desire for them to be crucified, then it's obvious sign that we're not walking in the light. That's the key. Lord, I want you to deal with that person. Anytime you tell God that, I want you to deal with that person, what is his word for that? Vengeance is mine. I'm glad that you want me to take care of that, but you need to let me do it my way. So you free it from your heart. Here's an illustration. What happens if we don't do that? Here's the key. Everything's about our hearts. A rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so angry it will bite itself. That is exactly what the harboring of hate and resentment against others is, a biting of oneself. We think that we are harming others and holding these spites and hates, but the deeper harm is to ourselves. See, because we're left to ourselves. And we're the ones who are standing before the Lord. And this is really amazing because doctors will back this up. That when that happens, when a person does it, it can actually bring illness to our bodies. Stress, undue stress from hurt and harm can actually bring sickness on. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who's sick or has a sickness means that they have hate in their heart. But it can bring that in. And so we have to be careful about that. I'm just really saying that once it becomes bitterness in our hearts, it now controls us. That's where the whole thing is. And the Lord is saying, if you walk in the light, that's not going to happen. And so when we do that, when we allow that to control us, what we have allowed is what the person did to control us. And why would we give them that much authority to do that? If God is the creator, why would we let somebody else have that kind of authority in our lives? I've shared some time back that I can remember emotionally, you know, going through a hard time that I actually had to get to a point where I said, Lord, I only want to have the emotions today that you have set forth for me since I was in my mother's womb. I don't want to let somebody else control my emotions. I only want you to do it. What I'm saying is, no matter what's going on in my life, I need to look at that situation through your eyes. And the only way I can do that is by drawing close to him. That's why walking in the light over and over, John is telling these people. Anyone else, something that maybe the Lord showed you in that before we move forward?
Well, I'm looking at verse 10.
Okay.
And it looks to me like they're contrasting hate with simple love.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever loves his brother is in the light. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness.
Yep.
And if, on that context, it's not as deep as me being mad at somebody or hating somebody for something to do, but Friday, my uncle called my daughter, and my daughter called me and said, Uncle Mike's trying to get a hold of you. He's having some issues or something. And so he called me. And I wake up every day with a plan.
Yeah.
I got this to do. I'm going to go do this. And Mike calls me, and he says, I need somebody. I'm woozy. My blood pressure's up.
Mm.
I need somebody to come over here and check my blood pressure. Well, I immediately threw on a roadblock. But I went over there and checked his blood pressure. It was a little high, but not terrible, at 130 something, you know, which is typical for us older guys. And then he said, well, I've made an appointment to go to Rite Aid or someplace up in Newburgh to get checked out. I guess they have a clinic. They have a clinic up there. And at 2 o'clock.
Mm.
And I even said to him, I said, Mike, you're shooting my whole day. You need, and I kind of scolded him a little bit, if you're going to need help as you get older, you need to get doctor service closer to us, because you can't expect people to take you an hour away into Providence. But in the end, you know, we talked, and so in the end, we took him up there, and of course, they checked him out, and then they want us to take him to the hospital and get his blood checked. But my attitude was wrong. It got better.
Yeah.
And then we ended up having a good time, talking about family stuff and old time stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like I was loving myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And not him.
Yeah.
And if I would, it was much more joyful once you turned it around.
Yeah.
And did what he asked you to do. And
exactly.
Our calling to love each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And love in action.
There you go.
And for me not to do it was basically kind of hating him.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Good point. Yeah, that is a good point through what we're looking at. If you look at the end of verse 10, what does it say? And there is no cause for stumbling him. The word stumbling is the Greek word scandalon, and it's where we get the word scandalous from. And it means a snare or a cause of displeasure or sin. So in hearing that, it's like there was a cause of displeasure. But as you look and say, he who loves his brother abides in the light. And so abiding in the light was like, well, I already have my day planned, but you know what? I need to go and do this. The downside from that would be if something would have happened to him and you didn't do that, you're left with, oh, I should have went to do that. And I think it's the Lord allows us, who knows? That might have been an opportunity where you could share. And it's not just the situation Dave was telling us about. All of us have gone through that where somebody's asked for a ride, especially Lorelei, to great distances. It's a chance for us to get to share with them as well. You know, like, man, the Lord loves you. Just know, are you anxious through this? Well, yeah. I just want you to know the Lord loves you, okay? This is how you know. 1 John. So it's an opportunity to do that.
The darkness is, I don't like to go to places where there's talk, gossip, negativity.
Yeah, yeah.
Brings me down.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Yeah.
I don't go downtown for coffee. And because it's the same old story of way back when, you know, and everybody's grumbling. And
yeah.
It just brings you down in the darkness.
So how do we change that? In a community, how do we change that? You go meet.
Yeah, speak up.
You go meet and then let them hear you. It's like, yeah, I really want to share something with what the Lord did for me this week. You know, amazing. Like sitting there and sharing something like that. How many people in the world actually have to deal with that? Especially around here, because we all have to drive a great distance just for anything, right? And so what a way to be able to do that. And yet it's the Lord who lines up those divine appointments for us. And it's so cool, Dave, that you tied that in like that. You know, it's, I think one of the things that we often have a hard time is that we can get tripped up by others by trying to avoid things rather than saying, Lord, this is my day I have scheduled today. But not my will, but your will be done today. If there's a divine appointments, help me to see him. Because I'm the kind of guy who's like, I got to get this done today, you know. Remember this morning, it's like Dave, this morning, Dave, we came over, and anytime my neighbor comes and wants to start cutting stuff on my property, I got to go out there. I got to help some way, somehow. But David said, well, I know you got to study today. I'm like, God will take care of that. I'm not worried about that. If I just say, you know, Dave, I can't do that today. It's like, you know, I study on Thursday. Well, what kind of, you know, what is that? As if God couldn't take care of the study for me, you know? So everywhere we go, that's part of showing them Jesus. See?
Exactly, because in chapter 4 it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So it's just, when you love on people, it's God all over the place.
Look at, flip over to chapter 3, I'll give you one verse in that. This encompasses everything that Dave said. Look at verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18. Somebody read that for me.
Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, with actions and in truth.
That's
gay.
Well, we don't always start out like
you
that.
You know what is so cool is, like, you always hear me say that our sanctification, what's that word mean, being set apart, right? It's a process. And you would think that, you know, me being 68, that I'd be further along in that process. But it's going to be that way until I die. But the thing is, am I walking more in the light, towards the light? That's amazing, because you hear that in the movies, right? Walk towards the light. You know, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, that light's Jesus. So let us show our love, not just in our words. And I love you. Jesus loves you. I love you. But we do it in word and in deed. You know, we go and we do the hard stuff. I'm always blessed when I see people who do that. And so, anyway.
I always heard that when we plan, God laughs.
Yes, yes. He's probably like, what? He's like, yeah.
I got plans for you.
I'm so glad for your plans.
Watch this.
The key to the end of that, of verse 10, is, and I want to be nice when I say it, but I want to be honest. If we're stumbling either by hating someone or by sinning, the reason is because we're not walking in the light. The whole thing is that. Why? Picture now, every time I say that, John is gathering around these people. He's wrote this letter to them, but he was there with them at one time, and he's reminding them again, reiterating what is going on. And so he says, walk in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. Of course, verse 11, he who hates his brother is in darkness. and walks in darkness does not know where he's going. So I think it was at Brennan Manning, he said the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. The things that we say. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm bashing people in the church. I'm not. I'm just, John is talking about false professions. Yet you're saying one thing, but you're doing another. I think I wrote it down here somewhere. That was like, who was it? Moody. Dwight Moody was walking in the street in Chicago, and this drunk stumbled upon him. And he says, "Are you D.L. Moody?" He said, "Well, yes, I am." He goes, "I'm one of your converts." And he says, "Well, I sure hope so, because you're not one of the Lord's." There was no change. There he was, stumbling around the street drunk. And so there has to be a change in it. And so I love that. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, is it possible that somewhere maybe we've been blinded by the darkness of hate? And am I willing to ask myself that? Because it's kind of weird how the Lord, I don't know if he does this to you, but if you have somebody that's on your heart, there's certain times when they're real heavy on there. When I'm mowing that yard out there on the riding mower, that's when my buddy is always on my mind. I'm like, and I start praying for him. Lord, I don't have any idea what is going on. I don't even know. But it's like, I need to keep praying for him. You know, I'll keep praying for him. And sooner or later, I'm going to do the thing that I always do, is I'm going to creep over to his house and say, "Hey, let's have a chat." Because I know we're too old to fight. So, I know I am. It's like, you ain't doing nothing. But it's one of those things where it just eats at you, you know, and you don't want to. I think part of that is you have to remember, too, is that I'll share a little bit later. We have to learn to take things off of self. How could they do that to me? You know, one thing we have to remember is whose we are. I'm a child of God. John says that in our verses, in verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. He's saying you are a child of God. And he says, and I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. And so I would be considered a father because of my, not just my advanced years and age or even having a son, but it's in the things that the Lord has brought me through. And I want to talk about that just for a little bit, because it seemed like he is kind of repeating the same thing. It's a repetitive thing. But remember, we studied this through spiritual formation. I went through this intently. And maybe I have that in my second study, because I wasn't thinking about getting that far. But he says, little children. It's the word technon, and it means infants or darlings, or literally born ones. The ones who have been born again, your children in the Lord. And he says, whose sins have been forgiven. So it's the forgiven ones. We are born again. We belong to him. Our sin has kept us out of the family of God, but through faith in Christ, we've been born into God's family. We have to remember that. You're a child of God. So because we are, why are we so concerned with what people say about us? Ever thought about that? Well, you know what? You're not very... Even my mom, when she... Of course, she had dementia, but, you know, she would sit there when I was trying to really hold the line with her. And she would say, "Well, what kind of pastor are you?" You know, and I knew she didn't mean anything mean. I said, "Well, one that you need to pray for. You still pray, right, Mom?" So, but I'm a child of God. Yeah.
It was far along.
Yes. But I guess the question would be, what does it mean to be a child of God? What is a Christian? If you ask that today in the church, I would love to hand out a survey What is a Christian? And what does it mean to be a child of God? And if you wrote on there, you are a child of God, how does a child of God act? Does it mean that we mechanically are attached to a program, or that we go to church every Sunday, or that we give money? I think one of the things that people need to realize is that being a Christian is much more than that. We are born of God. We have a divine nature in us, just as Christ did. Even if we don't act like it, he's given us. If Christ is in our hearts, then we have that divine nature as well. And it's because of him that we have an opportunity to be forgiven for our dumbness, right? And we can go to him at any time and say, Lord, forgive me. We have a relationship with God, not just following principles or living in fellowship with people in the church. We're living in fellowship with the Lord. That's our life. It literally is supposed to be our lifestyle, not something that we do. It's who we are. And I love what John is saying here, that we're his children. He's a proud father because we're his children. No, I brought this out before when we were in spiritual formation. Notice in verses 12 and 13, he says, I write to you, little children. Verse 13, I write to you, fathers. I write to you, young men. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And then he says, he turns it around in a past tense. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him. That word is gnosko, who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word abides of God. The word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. I love what he's saying there, because he's saying incrementally you have grown from little children, from little babes, and now you're little toddlers, and now you become young men because you have dealt with the things of the enemy. You learn how to overcome the things of the enemy. And so he describes that in three different aspects of development as believers: fathers, young men, children. Now, fathers, as I said earlier, speaks of those who are spiritually mature, but it can also speak of those with spiritual kids. He says, you've known him who is from the beginning. You don't get to be a father just by getting old. See? What does it say? There's a lot. Anybody can father a child, but it takes a special man to be a dad, to raise that child in the way. I believe it is Proverbs. Train up a child in the way that they should go, right? You can't train somebody of something you have no knowledge of. See? Watch Dave yesterday. I mean, boast on him, but watched him cut that tree down yesterday. I have no knowledge of that stuff. For the longest time, I thought you just get underneath there and just... I would have got killed if I had done that. He is experiencing it. He's done it. Why? Over and over and over and over. He's learned the pitfalls of it. And yet he would be a father in that. I would be just a newborn babe because I'm just watching. I could cut limbs off, you know. And even that, I probably don't do that well. But it's because he has taken part in that. And when we take part in that, when we have led other people to Christ, or you have counseled them in the way of the Lord, then that's what John is speaking about. And the young men, they're not as mature as the fathers, and they haven't had the experience the fathers have had, but they've learned the secret of overcoming the enemy, and they have learned how to live for God. You see that with people who, they're not always tripped up by the things of this world. They don't get their feelings hurt because somebody said something to them. You know, they'll say, well, I want to kind of just talk this out with you. That's how maturity, they begin to mature. And the reason why, in verse 14, it gives us the reason for the victory, or it gives them the reason for the victory, is because it says the word of God abides in you. That's why it's so important to get this word in us. We can go through the hoopla of just going through the motions and the feelings of, I felt the presence of God today. So what happens when those fiery darts start coming though? The word of God needs to prevail. What did David say? Your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. If his word is hidden in my heart, walk in the light as he is in the light. If any man says that he loves God but hates his brother, he's a liar. Say, I need that hidden in my heart. So when those feelings, the temptation of the enemy comes into for me to try to respond in kind to somebody who's been mean, I can learn how to get away with it. Why? Because I've hidden his word in my heart. The word of God abides in you. And you are abiding in him, just not existing in him. I think that was one of the major downfalls in my walk in the beginning. I was just existing in him. He wasn't abiding in me. Why? I was a carnal Christian. I was involved in things I should have never been involved with, thinking that I'm in the light. And then you go and you don't just read this, but you actually study it. Well, John called me a liar. I'm a liar. I was a liar for those 10 years. You lied. I'm sure glad God did not take me out during that time. My goodness. See how we can deceive ourselves? But you're abiding in him, not just existing. And this is how we can overcome sins in our own lives, by abiding his word. If you're taking notes, Psalm 119, 9. David says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. That's how we do it. And in that same chapter, verse 11, your word, what I said earlier, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And you know, I learned this from Raul Reese. He stole it from somebody else, but the saying, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. It's amazing. I remember, what year did he say that? I wrote it in my Bible. I know I did. Yeah, there it is. I don't know what year, but it's there. Written right in there, because it was so profound. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. And so these young men have discovered the key to standing strong. And the third part in there where he says little children, this is a different word that he uses other than the one he used in verse 12. This is the Greek word paidon. It means immature, half grown. But they're all born ones. And so it speaks specifically of those who are babes in Christ. They're new believers. They're young in the Lord, but they know the Father. They gnosko him. They're old enough. So he covers the whole spectrum of Christianity in those three titles. But it also gives us a sense of progression for growth in the Lord. We could ask ourselves, or I should say a good barometer is to ask ourselves, where am I in this? See, which one of those am I? Am I willing to say, well, sometimes I act like a little child, you know? Or there's times when I am those young men. I've kind of overcome that. And there's times when I've been the father. There's a progression that we go through sometimes. And so, does anybody have any questions on that before we move on?
I did have a thought.
Go ahead.
We were talking about the neighbors.
Yeah.
And that we got neighbors who are countercultural. And she posted on Facebook that she was wanted to do a silent retreat.
Right.
Of something Eastern religion. She said anything but Christianity.
Right.
Anything with Christianity. And we were talking about, well, why?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think you said it. It's when they live in a Christian nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we don't live out our faith.
Yeah.
Buddhism and all that. Mm-hmm. That's real romantic.
Yeah.
Because they don't live amongst a bunch of Buddhists.
Exactly.
They don't see their failings, but they see our failings all the time. And so they don't want anything to do with Christianity because of the way they see us.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the reasons why you put a Black Lives Matter flag on your property, because you have no knowledge of that. You're searching. I want to know anything and but that. And yet you live on the grounds that God created. That's what I was sharing with Dave. It's funny, I don't want to know anything about God, but I'll take the property he's given me. You know, that's somebody who just doesn't know. But you had a good point of that day, too, is because was it because of something that they went through of someone in the church? Did they get hurt? You know, a person who doesn't want to acknowledge the truth will say, well, it couldn't have been that. Well, I have way too much experience to know that to be true.
What is that?
How many people have actually done that? And who knows? And maybe after the tape is off, Dave, I'll ask you her name, but we'll pray for her. And that's what God put us all here for. We'll pray for her. And hopefully she does come to know the Lord. Because if she dies, what's going to happen? She's going to be seeing a woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Gnashing of teeth.
Exactly. And so, very cool. Yeah, that was a good point, Dave. I hadn't, that really kind of stuck with me all afternoon as I was studying. I'm like, wow, Lord, somebody just doesn't, they want nothing to do with you, you know. But then I'll look and say, how much of it was our fault? You know, hey, God forgives you. You know, we'll forgive you, but will you forgive us? You know, the only way they can do this is if we acknowledge that there was a wrong. That's the other part, the opposite side of hating your brother. When somebody comes and says, hey, I want to talk to you about this. And we don't acknowledge it. We say, no, you're wrong. We don't even consider it. We don't even go before the Lord and say, Lord, is that in me? If it is, what did David say? I've searched my heart, but you see if there's any unclean thing in me. And if somebody brings it to our attention, you need to at least consider it. I love what Charles Stanley said. You know, don't be so quick to push them away. Just consider it. Maybe 10 seconds, you know. But take it into consideration and allow the Lord to reveal it to us. That's what's going to cause us to grow. Not like, no, you're wrong. I didn't do that.
Well, on that line with that lady, I don't know the whole story, but the media now is making Christians look like horrible people.
Yeah, in a worse way.
That could be an influence too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why that much more, rather than us fighting them, we need to show them that love by what you were talking about, going and doing something for them. I don't really even need to go and say, okay, who can I go do something for today? I just wake up and say, Lord, where's that divine appointment today? What do you want me to do? And then the call comes. But then we're like, oh, wait a minute. That's an inconvenient time for me.
Lord, what do you have for me today? And then I was like, oh, this is what you're doing. Yeah, instead I have, oh, I got this to do.
So we see, I can see in that, what is that? That's right here what John's talking about. You're growing in maturity, growing in him. It's his word. And really, only his word is going to change our outcome. His word is going to change the way because we're so used to, especially us older guys, this is the way I've always done it. And God comes in and he changes it. But we're not willing to change. But we have to change. Especially if we have done something to injure someone and they do come to you and you don't address it, you don't let them deal with you with it, that is walking in darkness. That is a form of hate. See, that's why we always have to be open to that. And the bottom line is, if we're reconciled to God, which is what his word is given us, so that man can be reconciled to God because we were sinners and couldn't dwell with him, but now we can through Jesus, how are we not going to be reconciled with one another? Love God. Jesus said, love God with everything you have and love one another. Well, I love God, but I don't need to love him. I need to change that. And it's been a process for me. You know, I don't know. I just loved being around guys who have really overcome that. But they've overcome it through the word. It isn't because they made a choice and said, I'm going to grow up and be the bigger person, right? That's what they say. I'm going to be the bigger person. What are they saying? You're lower and I'm up here. No, I'm going to be like Christ. So how are we going to be like Christ? We have to die to it. I have to die to that thing. I have something in there because I'm going to skip right over to it. Something that I saw somebody quoted. Forgive me there. That's a different part of that. Anyway. Let me get back to this here. John is really telling them it's a process of growth in there. When little children get to know God as Father, they're learning with each step to trust Him more and more. And the more they trust Him, the more we trust Him, the more we walk with Him. It took a while for me to learn how to receive God's love. Why? I didn't have that with my dad. I shared that with you before. I didn't have it with my dad. I tell him this morning, I watch Beaver every morning with my breakfast because it takes me back to the 60s. I love that. And I tell Linda, I said, man, I wish my dad would have been like Ward Cleaver. He talked to me, or my dad never talked to me. He had talked to me, but he never talked to me because nobody ever taught him. And yet, those are things that I live with. And what happened was, I always share with people, my dad and I are like this. My son and I are like this. But I love my dad. I mean, I don't hate him with everything that we know I've gone through with him. It was like this. I have no idea what this is with him. Was with him for the last 8 days of his life. And yet, what's really weird to me in that is nobody taught him how to love. So he didn't give that to us. So it was very hard for me, as the Bible says, as your Father loves you. There was something there in the way. I couldn't receive it until I came to gnosko him. I came to know who he is. And then I said, oh, that's a different kind of love. Did I know my dad loved? Of course. I mean, I look back on it now. I told Linda, I said, man, I feel so bad today. I'm 68. I'm like, he's been gone for I don't know how many years, since 2010. And that poor man worked as a Johnny mechanic all day long, and then he had to come home, and the first thing he hears is, you need to go talk to your boys. Poor guy. I was a mess. I guess I deserved everything I got. But I want to finish up right here, because I'm gonna make this a two-parter. John is speaking to the people, and he's telling them, don't hate your brothers. Don't listen to these morons that are trying to get you to walk a different way. Love your brothers. You guys are growing. You've been little children. I'm talking to the little children, talking to the young men. I'm talking to the fathers now. And in verse 15, look what he says. Do not love the world or the things of the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Plain and simple. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the Father, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And he gives a caveat to that, and I'm going to share more about that next week, verses 15 through 18. But he says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The world's going to pass away. And we know that to be true, right? I mean, I understand all of the things that people are saying. We are, and I'll share more intently about this next week, about we are to be good stewards of the world that God has put us in. This is not our home, though. We're just sojourners here. The word tells us that. We're just passing through. But we're to be respectful of that which he's given us. But we're not to love the world. And I'll go into that next week. It's talking about the world's system. Don't fall in love with it. Because that's what the Gnostics were trying to get them to do. Your life would be much better if you bought this. Your world would be so much nicer if you lived over here. That's the world system. And so we'll get more into that next week. So let's pray. Lord, I want to just thank you first and foremost for conviction, Lord. I know there's so much, Lord, that you have.